Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, would you bless our time together? Pray that you'll give the wisdom needed to learn truth that will make a difference in our lives. Lord, that's what you want, and we're believing you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, following our book, we are now on the subject of being courageous. And this does happen to follow on the idea of being confident, which is the last time. It just happens that they are alphabetically in order, but that's a good thing. And so we can draw a little bit from that. Now, when I talk about emotional issues, what's the number one emotional issue that women face when they allow anxiety to overtake them? Now that's a more of a male problem. Depression sure comes.
Fear,
very good. All right, fear. And so the topic of being courageous certainly fits with this aspect. A woman doesn't fear necessarily crises. I mean, you have a child get hurt, dad falls apart, mom's tough. You know, I mean, that's usually what happens. It's a funny thing. But when it comes to relationships and issues of life, oh man, that economic insecurity, these things can bring great fear to a woman. And so it is something you do need to understand that that's, if you find yourself being fearful about a relationship or a situation, you can mark it down, you've had anxiety longer than you've known. In other words, you're not handling you're not living with rest, you're not living with confidence, you're not living in a genuine walk with God like you maybe think you are. And it's been longer than you know that since you've had a time where you were really at rest with the Lord. So that's not really part of this, but it is something to understand that that's a good indicator. I dealt with the men Saturday morning on the fact that God wants men to have peace in their hearts, to be ruled by peace, wants all of us to be, and that if they find themselves in depression, that tells us they've been in anxiety longer than they know. And so we had a good, very straightforward talk about that. So it's very similar to what I'm talking to you about today. But you know, in life, there's just lots of things that can bring us fear. The unknown, what's going to happen in our lives, what's happening with our children. And there's just that lack of confidence, as she says, it just comes into the pit of your stomach and you feel that fear. And that's not a healthy way to live. Now, fear is a good thing when there's something we ought to be fearful about, just like pain. You know, it's a terrible thing when people lose the ability to have pain, that they hurt themselves and have all kinds of problems. So we need pain to tell us, ooh, boy, stay away from that. But fear that continues on and is not based upon, it's exaggerated out of its reality. That's what we have to ask God for. We of course, we have, as she mentions here, a number of things that are just typical fears. Some people just can hardly stand riding in an airplane, you know, and won't fly. I rather drive myself. It's not because I'm fearful, but I watch some people when it starts getting bumpy and you can tell they are just about to have a panic attack, you know. I have determined, I used to get a little sick with bumpy rides, you know, and it's pretty tough when you're flying in and at the last minute you've got to then get to where you're going to speak and after a bumpy ride. That is tough. That happened to me a couple weeks ago. I flew out to California. My flight was 2.5 hours late and we had nothing but bumps all the way along. Thankfully, I handled them pretty well. I was pretty beat up though. Then we got caught in LA traffic and I had to go 1 hour and 15 minutes. It took me 2.5 hours. And so I was able to go to my room for all of about 3 minutes and I'm on stage. You know, a couple thousand people. And so it was, you know, those kind of moments. So airplanes can be a hassle. By the way, the Lord delivered that night, so I'm very thankful. That's why I appreciate your prayer, because you never know what kind of dilemma you can get yourself into. But By the way, one of the things I know I was going to say about the airplane ride, if you do an airplane ride and it gets a little bumpy, that just let it rock you to sleep. That's the way I think about it. I get on a long, bumpy flight overseas, and I say, this is wonderful. This is a free massage, you know? And it really does work. At least it works for me. I just sort of relax into it and say, this is great, instead of, not fearful, but some people just get sick. I used to sort of get sick, and I thought, no, I'm going to ride with this. This is good. Yes?
Do you think fear because we're out of control? Do you think we just fear because, like an airplane, where we know there's nothing to do?
That's another thing, because women do like to be in control of things. You know, I mean, you manage your, I'm not saying it badly. Well, it's true, and sometimes women do like to be in control. That's not worth it. Yeah, you like to have things where you know, it's much more dangerous to drive. Your odds are way higher to drive to the same place rather than fly, but at least we think we're in control. Actually, we're not on the road. Now, it's not going to be us probably that causes an accident. It's going to be somebody else, you know. And all right. So, yeah, that's true. And we're going to be talking here. Actually, what Joan said is very perceptive, is that life, when it seems to get out of control, we come back to the reality that there is one who is in control. All right, and that's what really helps. So that's going to be the essence of what we're talking about. But there's just a lot of things. Some people really get fear about having to say anything publicly. A lot of people panic when they go to a medical test and have physical problems and really begin to let their mind go way down the line. And there's just lots of legitimate things that we find that fear does really get a hold of us. Turn with me to Joshua, which is a wonderful example of how God prepared a man to face something that legitimately was pretty fearful. Joshua, we find in Deuteronomy and in Numbers, God had empowered him to lead the army. You remember, Joshua was the one man that was with Moses when Moses would go to the tent of meeting and meet with God. There was Joshua. Joshua wanted to fellowship with God. Who did Moses take partway up into the mount when he met with the Lord? Joshua. Who was one of the two men that chose to believe God when they, as spies into the land and saw the giants and all the impossibilities? Joshua, of course, and Caleb. Well, because of his faith, because of his willingness to believe God, God exalted him and prepared him to be the leader after Moses. Well, I'm telling you, folks, to lead single-handedly 2 to 4 million people, that's an amazing thing. Can you imagine if you were chosen to lead single-handedly, without all of the infrastructure we have in our area, all of Milwaukee and the surrounding area? That'd be 1.5 million people. Be pretty dull.
They all had cows and horses.
Yeah, cows and camels and pigs. No, they didn't have pigs. No, they didn't have pigs. No pigs. But can you imagine what a, you know, it's just, it's almost, it's so daunting. And so the Lord, even though Joshua had proved himself by having that relationship with the Lord is so gracious to keep empowering him and teaching him. And he gives him here in Joshua chapter 1. Let's go ahead and read the first 9 verses. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. So here we have a direct help from God to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now let me stop here for a minute. For us as New Testament believers, every step of the way, God will turn it to good if we're trusting Him. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Even the size of what they were going to do is pretty daunting. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Wow. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Would you say this was rather encouraging to hear this from God? Just put yourself in that context. Those are amazing words. No one's going to be able to stand before you. And as I was with Moses, and that was powerful, how I was with Moses, I'm going to be the same way with you, and I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Okay, now what is the key here? He was to be strong in what? The Lord, and courageous based upon the word of the Lord. At this point, they had the Pentateuch that was now written, and there is much in there to encourage them. We just finished reading it if you've been doing the church Bible reading. And so he says, if you will trust me by trusting my word, that's going to be the key to being strong and very courageous. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God goeth with thee whithersoever thou goest. Well, that would be encouraging. But we have greater promises than Joshua had. But you see here that it is part of our spiritual obedience to be what? Courageous. Now, we're not speaking here of human boldness. We are speaking here of divinely empowered overcoming of fear because of our trust in who God is, what His Word says, and that we are in God's will doing what He said, and therefore every step we take, God will protect us and He will give us good success. Every time I read verse 9, I cannot help, it rings in my ears. It will be, it will be 36 years ago and on the 8th of April that Wayne had his major surgery. And a couple of months after that, he went to radiation and had major head radiation day after day. And every time he would grab his little, what we called his Murphy dog, his little beagle stuffed animal, and he'd say to Mama, be strong and of a good courage. He'd quote this, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest, even to radiation. That was his quote. He was 2.5 at that time. Yeah, he was 2.5. He was what gets to me because of his limitations today is of all of my six children, he was definitely the one that was the most advanced at that age. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And sometimes he'll say, what could I have been? I said, doesn't matter. This is what God wanted you to be. And those are hard things when we have to deal with some of that. But he'll be with me even in radiation, and he was. They said they've never had a child lay on that narrow cart that's way up with those big machines going that they were able to give it to him very slowly because he didn't move. When a child moves around, they have to give it to him, boom, that has much more damage. They said it was actually amazing. He never moved one time in 30 days of radiation. So God was with him. I mean, we saw God do miracle after miracle. So I'm sorry I throw that in, but it's just, I can't read it without just knowing that the Lord was with him. And God will be with you. Folks, during the hardest of situations, our God is real. Do you realize courage is the evidence of faith? fear is the evidence of man-centered perspective. That's really what you're dealing with. Fears that we allow to come in, we have chosen, for whatever reason, to ignore what God has said. You notice the emphasis on the Word of God here, and that God's will is right, and we are focusing on ourselves. And folks, listen, I've said it so many times, when we focus on ourselves, we have every right to get fearful. You know, we can't do it ourselves. Without me, ye can do nothing, we often quote there. So what I want you to understand is courage is not a human trait. Some people are very bold. Don't you admire our soldiers, our special forces that do things that I can't imagine doing? I admire that. That's human boldness, but that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is the sense of rest in a God who we know is in control, and once He said it, we can count on it, and we choose not to fear, and we ask God to enable us to be courageous in what we would normally, humanly, find ourselves to be fearful. And our God will take care of us. In fact, fear is a great evidence of the fact that we are not trusting the Lord at that point. Now, we'll initially have fear, that's understandable. But an ongoing fear that begins to debilitate us, that is not pleasing to the Lord. And God wants us to be able to overcome that. Now, you're going to have times where your faith is really put to the test and you can't help but be fearful. You have a bad health report. You know, a number of you have faced that for you, yourself or your spouse. Fear comes for a moment, there's no doubt about it. Maybe have a trial that you're going through and or whatever. And at that point, it is just natural to have, oh no, what do you immediately need to do? You've got to spend time with Jesus. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, actually sweat great drops of blood. Why? Because what he was going to face would make anybody fearful. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, you know, you can take this cup away from me. But he said, not what I will, but thy will be done. I mean, everything in him humanly wanted to shrink back that from that. But Jesus knew why he had come, obviously, and because of his love for us, and because he was in the will of the Father, he showed the courage to go to the cross. It's something that it'll take all of eternity for us to really appreciate. Now, if that's so, and we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ within us, do you not think that his very attitude can be formed in our own spirit if we are really trusting him? He's acquainted with every grief, every fear, every problem. He knows the heartache. He has felt it. He has literally felt it. And remember, for him being eternal, it's like as though it's happening today. I mean, it's past. It's a historic fact. But I mean, our God, our Savior, really does understand the fears that we face. And so if we will look to the Lord and get into fellowship with him, his heart will become our heart, and we're going to believe, no, this is going to turn to good. I can trust him. He will deliver me. I don't like what's happening, but I'm not going to let fear paralyze me here. I am in the hands of an almighty God. And that's a tremendous thing, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I remind myself of that every morning as I'm praying. Lord, it's on you. I don't have it on me anymore. And you're far greater to take care of it than I am. And you can be free. And I can tell you what, it can be some pretty heavy burdens that you're facing at the moment. I've mentioned on many occasions about what the nation of Israel faced when they went into the land. The Bible called it that they lived in rest after they learned their lessons at Ai and Gibeon. From that point on, no one died. In fact, that's what God had promised, didn't he? He said there would be no defeat to Joshua. when he went into the land. And so, do you think those men were facing some pretty tough things? They were facing walled cities and giants and massive armies. They were an untrained group, and yet they went to bed without fear every night. They were in their tents and they were fine, or sleeping out under the stars, and they knew they're going to be in battle the next day. But God had promised. And they would have to wield the sword, they'd have to throw the spear, they would be in fights, they would, you don't know what all they would have to do, but they knew they were okay. I mean, none of them were going to die if they trusted the Lord. That's pretty good. Isn't it wonderful to sleep like a baby at night, knowing you're going to be in a big battle the next day? But when God's on your side, you don't have anything to worry about. Is God on your side? Does God know what he's doing? Absolutely. Even the things that are perplexing, is God going to work those through? Honestly, you can rest. Rest is the mark of a spirit-filled Christian. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. It's a resting faith, active in its... I mean, those guys were active. You know, I mean, they went through it. Can you imagine? They were eyeball to eyeball with wicked men. And yet, they were okay. Because the God of heaven... Yeah, it'd be pretty exciting. You're battling along, and all of a sudden you hear the order pull back, and all of a sudden you see from heaven these big stones coming down, massacring the army. That's pretty good. You shout, and the walls come down. And you see, as you're continuing on, if it only wasn't getting dark, you could really massacre these guys, and you see your leader, Joshua, tell the sun and moon to stand still, and it does. I mean, that's pretty exciting stuff. And today, God is working just as mightily in our lives, and it needs to characterize. You can't have fear and rest at the same time. And I tell you, ladies, if you find yourself waking up at night with a little bit of panic or fear, that's a good indication that there is some areas of lack of really believing God in certain things. And you really need to ask God to give you a real rest in your soul, maybe even talk it through with someone else, but really give it to the Lord and realize, I'm okay. A lot of times our problem is that we haven't yielded as much as we think we have. In other words, Lord, it's all right, whatever happens, because I'm going to believe that you're going to work here, and I'm in your care, and you are holding me in your love. I'm all right, and I choose to believe you. I'm telling you, that rest is real in the midst of the biggest storms of life. In fact, let me say that some of the sweetest sleep you'll ever know is when you're walking in the Spirit in the midst of a fiery trial, because it's divine. And I tell you, it's an amazing thing. And you have the joy of the Lord. That doesn't mean you don't have tears. It doesn't mean you don't have reality. Doesn't mean that there isn't a fight, but it is God. God's on our side. Folks, that, you know, Joshua's day is not as great as our day. We're in the day of the church age, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. They didn't have that. And we have the Word of God in its entirety. We have the experience of looking back at all that God has done throughout history, and we have an opportunity to really believe God. Well, you look at the Lord Jesus, and he is a wonderful example. And in the chapter here, she talks about that. And you have the Lord showing the Lord Jesus, because he was totally confident of his relationship with the Father. He was right in the will of the Father. He faced the most difficult things. It's very interesting. She talks about the money changers and having them pushed out of the temple. And the Lord didn't lose his character of the loving Savior that he was. He was just a man of righteousness. And this was a wicked thing that they were doing, the money changers, and his righteous indignation caused them to flee. And he did not shrink back from that. And in every case, he overcame what he was facing. So you can look at the rest there. I've only touched on some of this, but I wanted to share with you what I, especially there about Joshua, because I think it's very important. So is it a good thing to have fear? Not unless it's a, if it's a fear to protect us, yes. But ongoing fear, never, never, never. Fear, anxiety, lack of peace should just be a wake-up call and say, Lord, it's not because of the circumstances. I'm right now not trusting you. Get me back on the ground of faith. Do not look to circumstances to change to give you peace. Look to your relationship with God to give you peace. The greatest peace, the deepest rest that you will ever have is when circumstances are not the way you want them. And when you can learn that those are some of the most quality times in your life, then you don't have anything to fear. Life is good when it's good, and it's good when it's bad. We got it made, don't we? 24/7, we can have the peace of God. Folks, this isn't a nice little talk. I'm telling you the truth, because you have God 24/7. He loves you individually. He is working on your behalf. He wants you to trust Him. It doesn't please Him for you to be under anxiety, because that means that you don't have faith in who He is, and without faith it is impossible to please God, you see. So some thoughts here, and I'm sure some of you have come in with troubles today, just the way it is. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Just say, you know, I've got the Lord. I'm okay. I got to get my thinking rearranged. Lord, sometimes you just have to talk to yourself. Self, quit this. You know, this is just, you're not believing God. Now let's get ourselves together here and we're going to get this thing conquered. Now, I can tell you, within literally seconds, I can go from to, oh, and I just get my eyes back on the Lord. And if you can consistently live that way, you'll keep yourself out of a lot of unnecessary heartache. Oh, yes. Right, well, that's the extreme fear is where you are looking at things and that's not genuinely the reality. Yeah, that's very good. And in fact, phobias and wrong emotional instabilities are thinking something's real when it's not, living in an unreal world. And listen, for a Christian, we should never, I mean, if we're fearful, then we're not thinking of truth. Now, we react with normal fear, but we don't need to have ongoing fear.